Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. If you have allergies, bad odors, or damp smells, you need the Thunderstorm. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code Howie10 to save $10 plus free shipping. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. It's the Grace Curley Show, live from the Aviva Trattoria Studios. The new Aviva is opening in Malden on Wednesday, June 16th. Visit avivatrattoria.com/Malden. Now, here's Grace Curley.
All right, we are awaiting Joe Biden's news conference at NATO. I'm not surprised he's going to do one because this weekend was so brutal. I mean, there's a lot of sound. There's a lot of video out there. The video is better because some of this stuff, like when he wanders into a lunch area and, you know, Jill has to corral him away from the crowds and from like one reporter who's not even asking hard questions. You really need to see the whole thing. But the sound cut that I do think is worth replaying one more time here before he potentially comes out to try to, do some damage control, I think it's got to be the mixing up of Libya and Syria. And I make mistakes all the time. I was just talking to Howie about this. I mess up words. I say pronouncing's wrong. But I'm not the president of the United States. This is kind of a big thing to mess up if you're in charge. Cut one, please, Jared.
We could work together with Russia, for example, in Libya. We should be opening up the passes to be able to go through and provide food assistance and vital assistance to a population that's in real trouble. I think I'm going to try very much hard to. And by the way, there's places where. I shouldn't be starting off and negotiating in public here, but let me say it this way.
The art of the deal.
Russia has engaged in activities which we believe are contrary to international norms, but they have also bitten off some real problems they're going to have trouble chewing on. And, for example, the rebuilding of Syria, of Libya, they're there. And as long as they're there without the ability to bring about some order in the region, and you can't do that very well without providing for the basic economic needs of people. So I'm hopeful that we can find an accommodation that where we can save the lives of people in Libya,
All right, so that is about a minute and 25 seconds, and I think that summarizes basically what the G7 was all about. It was just fumbling, bumbling, made no sense, and Howie Carr is going to have to transcribe it for a column. That's what we got out of that. I'm sure it cost a lot of money to put that whole thing together, but that minute and 30 seconds is what we got out of it. I do want to move on here briefly because Ilhan Omar got herself into a little bit of trouble. And Democrats are trying to get out of it. So Representative AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, has defended Ilhan Omar. And she declared that the fellow squad members' comments last week, and her comments were equating the United States and Israel to Middle Eastern terrorist organizations. Now, AOC is saying this was mischaracterized. Again, this is a common theme. You know, they can type. No one took control of Ilhan's Twitter. She tweets these things out herself. And this is not the first time she's gotten herself in trouble. She accused the United States of backing crimes against humanity and notes that the Republicans have put together a resolution. And it also notes that Ocasio-Cortez accused the government of Israel of committing human rights abuses. And Tlaib accused the government of Israel of ethnic cleansing against Palestinians and accused. So this is a big deal. AOC is defending Ilhan Omar. Nancy Pelosi, to an extent, is also defending Ilhan Omar. And there's been so many times where Ilhan Omar has done this, where the representative has said things that are anti-Semitic, very disparaging to the United States, putting us in the same category as Hamas. and the Taliban. That's where we're at. It's 2021. That's,
yeah, we don't need context and clarification
right
on that one. It's pretty clear what you're saying.
I think we're characterizing your tweet pretty correctly. But the real thing I wanted to talk about as far as AOC, because I'd be sad if I let this sound cut go to waste. She accidentally said the quiet part out loud. And these are sometimes my favorite stories about Democrats. She was talking about elections because you guys know that the Democrats are very, very excited about the H.R. 1 bill. This is the For the People Act. And this will transform voting in America, whether it's early voting, absentee voting, voter requirements, everything is going to get completely overhauled. And it basically lets the way things happened in 2020, which a lot of people were not thrilled with, a lot of people, and I'm not going to get into the election and all that. All I'm saying is people don't have that much faith in elections right now. I don't think the early voting and the absentee voting and getting ballots sent out to your house. I know when I saw two ballots come to my house with names on them, I was a little bit taken aback by that. I'm like, I liked how people have to go in, fill something out. It makes you feel like at least something's on the level. Now, AOC is very much on the side of the progressives, obviously. She's the face of the Progressive Party. And also celebrities like Jennifer Lawrence, they keep talking about how, you know, Republicans are trying to rig the elections, but also you can't talk about how anyone's rigging the elections. But also this is Jim Crow on steroids asking people to get IDs or, you know, go in person to vote. And what AOC said during this interview, I believe it was with Dana Bash on CNN, she said a little bit of the truth that they can't, the reason they need all of these new rules is because if you can't win the game, you change the rules that you have to play by. And that's what she really says in this cut 15.
And especially if Senate Democrats are not going to pass reforms on H.R. 1, we cannot rely solely on a wish of winning elections.
Feel like that's you, what it used to be about. Maybe I'm, you know what though, I'm so old school. I'm not with it. I'm not hip anymore. But I think it used to be about trying to win the elections, just, you know, campaigning and raising money and having good ideas.
Yeah, having plans and ideas that most of America doesn't outright reject because they're insane helps you win elections.
No, Jared, HR 1 is what's going to help them win elections, and they know it. They know it. They're telling you. This is the part of this country right now that drives me crazy is that, yeah, are the wishy-washy Democrats and Republicans annoying? Sure. But when you get someone like AOC who openly tells you exactly what the playbook is and you still don't listen, that's on you. Now, I want to switch gears here one more time because I'm trying to fit a lot in here before I hand over this mic to Howie Carr at 3 o'clock. Critical race theory is something you read about almost daily. It gets thrown around a lot, and a lot of parents are getting very sick of this. They feel like it teaches their kids that you're either oppressed or you're the oppressor, and that, you know, if you're white, you're inherently bad. There's a lot of different elements to it. But the important thing is that parents are finally speaking up, and they don't like this. And so I want to play some of these. They're all from different states. Let's start with the Florida mom, Keisha King. And she talks about what critical race theory is really teaching. Cut 11.
CRT is not racial sensitivity or simply teaching unfavorable American history or teaching Jim Crow history. CRT is deeper and more dangerous than that. CRT, in its outworking today, is a teaching that there is a hierarchy in society where white, male, heterosexual, able-bodied people are deemed the oppressor, and anyone else outside of that status is oppressed. That's why we see corporations like Coca-Cola asking their employees to be less white, which is ridiculous. I don't know about you, but telling my child or any child that they are in a permanent oppressed status in America because they are black is racist, and saying that white people are automatically above me, my children, or any child is racist as well.
You know what this reminds me of? When Trump was president and all the Black Lives Matter protests were going on, there was a woman, And I'm blanking on her name. I'll find out during the break. But she was right in front of the White House and she was arguing with this white woman who was a, you know, Black Lives Matter protester. And she started yelling and she started saying, "I'm not oppressed. Stop telling me I'm oppressed. I'm in the freest country in the world. I'm a free woman." And I thought there is something very, very racist about telling people that are free people, you know, we're all free people in America, that they're oppressed. This woman is right. That's a racist concept, saying, you know, you can't achieve as much as I can unless we change the entire education system. That also seems racist. It's the soft bigotry of low expectations. And I thought that this other father put it really well, because Martin Luther King Jr. is brought up a lot, but one of his most famous quotes goes exactly against what the left is teaching right now. This is Ty Smith on Critical Race Theory, Cut 13.
"How am I now directing over folks that look just like you guys in this room right now? How? What kept me down? What oppressed me? I work for myself from off the streets to where I am right now. You gonna sit here and tell me this lie of critical race theory? Of this the reason why black folks can't get ahead because of white folks? Are you kidding me? This is what we come to now. I can't believe we're even talking about this right now. The last thing I'm gonna say right here is something that's crazy. Martin Luther King said he wanted his kids to grow up in a world where they are judged by the contents of their what?
Character.
Their character, not their skin. If they letting this stuff go on right now, it is absolutely doing the complete reverse of what he's doing. So when February come, don't talk about Martin Luther King. When February come, don't talk about Black History Month. Y'all gonna sit there and just pretty much pee on his grave with this nonsense? That's exactly what's about to happen."
And it is nonsense. And there's this false narrative that's going around, and specifically by Joy Reid. She tweeted about it this weekend, where they're saying that we don't, you know, people who are against critical race theory are against schools teaching about slavery. That's not true. They've been teaching about slavery. I learned plenty about slavery when I was in school. It wasn't something they glossed over. You know, that's complete fake news. And she runs with it. Joy Reid says, "Oh, this is because," I'll find the exact tweet, because it was pretty horrific. And it was actually a big slam on educators, basically saying they're not teaching anything at these schools. Here's a tweet. She says, "Open question to those who are afraid of critical race theory, which isn't being taught in K-12 schools. It's a course offering in law schools, but you clearly are conflating it with the 1619 Project. What do you want taught about U.S. slavery and racism? Nothing or what? Currently, most K-12 students already learn a kind of Confederate race theory, whereby the daughters of the Confederacy long ago imposed a version of history wherein slavery was not so bad and had nothing to do with the Civil War, and lynchings and violence never happened." I don't remember that being the history I learned in school. Just because parents don't think that schools should have their kids break down their oppressive traits and, you know, talk about their white guilt and how inherently horrible they are, or on the reverse, if you have a black child, talk about how oppressed you are, that does not mean you're not learning about slavery or the history of America. That's conflation. Talk about conflating two issues, Joy. We'll be back on the other side. We'll probably move on from this, and we're going to talk a little bit. Actually, you know what I want to play? I cannot believe I'm about to say this, Jared. I never thought I'd say this on the Grace Curley Show. On the other side, it's hard. It's hard for me to even get it out. I want to play a cut from Bill Maher. And that's a first for me. 844-500-4242. I see you guys on the lines. I'll take your calls also on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
"I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potatoes.
You'll get nothing and like it."
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Before I throw it to Jared for the poll question, let's take a call here. Brian, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, hi. How are you, Grace?
Good. What's up?
On another talk, I called about Biden was over in NATO, and you know, obviously he's making some bumbles and stumbles and stuff like that. But I just wondered, you know, from your point of view, I think we're better off with him probably than Trump, because I think we got a united NATO. I think, you know, Germany and England, especially England, is the most critical ally we have, based on the fact that I don't think we have to worry about a war with China, because England's going to jump right in immediately. You know what I mean? So we have to have strong relationships with those countries, whether Trump's there or Biden's there.
Yeah, I have no problem with us having strong relationships with the country. I just, when I looked at what was happening this weekend, I didn't see strength. And listen, I talk about Joe Biden and not seeing strength from him, and I stand by that. I mean, you said yourself, you watch the clips, you understand what I'm talking about. But I mean it on all fronts. It just, to me, felt like a bunch of people, including Trudeau, including, you know, everybody there, Boris Johnson, everyone seemed out of touch with the regular people, with the people who just want to get things done. It seemed like a bunch of, I said this earlier, but a bunch of goons. It seemed stupid to me. And when I heard cuts with actual questions, like when I heard an actual question be asked of Joe Biden, this is what he said about it. Cut two.
I'm going to get in trouble with my staff. Yeah, go ahead. But I pretend that you didn't answer you.
Thank you very much, sir. You have often said repeatedly that America is back.
Yes.
At the same time, you've kept in place some Trump-era steel and aluminum sanctions. And I wanted to ask you, when you're having these conversations with European allies who are very concerned about these sanctions, how do you justify that? And what are your plans?
120 days. Give me a break. Need time.
You know, it's nice that Boris Johnson and other people, you know, really like Joe Biden, Brian, but I don't know how well that's going to play out in the long run when he's giving answers like that.
Yeah, I just still can't understand it. I mean, from the other point of view, I don't know how Trump lost, to be honest with you. A year ago at this time, I would have bet $100,000 that Trump would have got reelected.
Yeah, yeah. And Brian, here's the other thing, and I'm being totally honest here. This is, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. Like, I know they all sit around and smile at each other and, you know, laugh, and they all bring their wives and their husbands to those meetings and take a bunch of photos. That doesn't bother me. But when that's happening, and at the same time, Joe Biden's coronavirus czar is saying, well, the American people didn't sacrifice enough over the last year, then I have an issue. When he's shutting down the Keystone Pipeline and there's people here who were losing their jobs, then I have an issue. It's great that Trudeau is, you know, taking it to the press and talking about global warming, but I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about people here. I'm worried about America first. And I agree with you. I'm stunned every day. I was looking at a Howie's column over the weekend in the Boston Herald, and it's this big picture of Biden and Jill and walking onto Air Force One, and it just hit me for a second. You know, wow, he's in charge, and it's scary, especially when you read what Howie transcribes. I mean, the bumbles, they just never stop. We'll save the poll question for the other side so we can play some of that sound, and then we've got producers' picks coming up. But yeah, I just don't think that any of it was helpful. Because, yeah, does Boris Johnson think Biden's great? I'm sure he does. I'm sure he loves the fact that he looks better in comparison to Biden, who's correcting him on something he actually said. And the fact that he told his constituents, if you or the people that he rules, that he was going to, or governs over, that he was going to lift the lockdowns, and now he hasn't. So I'm sure he loves being surrounded by like-minded dictators, but I don't think it bodes well for us. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. It is Monday, and I am ready to have a week full of fabulous shows, so I hope you'll keep tuning in. Today's poll question is brought to you by CapeLily.com, my favorite soap. I used to be one of those people. I always have preferred bars of soap. I think you get more bang for your buck, to be honest. That could be incorrect, but that's how I feel. And I'm a cheap bastard, too. And I used to get the kind, I'm not going to name names here, but, you know, the pretty generic brands. And I would always find they'd leave my skin kind of stiff and sticky and with a film over it. Then I tried Cape Lily soaps. These are 100% natural soaps, perfect for sensitive skin. If you have skin that gets itchy after you shower, or if you're prone to eczema or any kind of skin, really, this is the perfect natural soap for you. It's handcrafted in small batches with Cape Cod sea salt. Buy local and save your skin with these moisturizing, chemical-free soaps. Love your soap. Love your skin. Go to capelily.com. That's Lily with two L's, capelily.com. Jerry Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What was Biden's worst moment at the G7? Was it Dr. Jill corralling him in public, confusing Libya and Syria, saying he'll get in trouble for answering questions, whispering, give me a break, 120 days, need time, to a reporter, or saying he's open to exchanging cyber criminals with President Clinton?
Well, the most cringeworthy for me was definitely the, come on, need time, because it sounded like he was inhaling the microphone. But I'm going to say the Jill Biden making sure he didn't answer a question from a rogue reporter was probably the worst.
Yes, Dr. Jill corralling him in public is ahead at 33%. Second place saying he'll get in trouble for answering questions at 30%. Tight poll.
And Jared, I just, there's one here that I don't think it would have made this list, but I do want to hear it if that's okay. Biden, when I see rambling in the description, I think it's worth playing. This is Biden talking about his meeting with Putin, cut five.
With regard to, I always found, and I don't mean to suggest that the press should not know, but this is not a contest about who can do better in front of a press conference or try to embarrass each other. It's about making myself very clear what the conditions are to get a better relationship are. We're not looking for conflict. We are looking to resolve those actions which we think are inconsistent with international norms, number one. Number two, where we can work together, we may be able to do that in terms of some strategic doctrine that may be able to be worked together. We're ready to do it. There may be other areas. There's even talk there may be the ability to work together on climate. So the bottom line is that I think the best way to deal with this is for he and I to meet, he and I to have our discussion. I know you don't doubt that I'll be very straightforward with him about our concerns. And I will make clear my view of how that meeting turned out. And he'll make clear how, from his perspective, how it turned out. But I don't want to get into being diverted by did they shake hands? How far did they talk? Who talked the most and the rest? He can say what he said the meeting was about. And I will say what I think the meeting was about.
Oh.
That's how I'm going to handle it.
So he's setting this up for, you know, any criticism or anything Putin says, you know, it doesn't matter. Also, for someone who says clear all the time, he wants to be clear. He wants to make things clear. You know, his goal is to be clear. It's all feeling very foggy, Jared. It's all feeling very unclear, you might say.
You keep using that word.
Yeah.
I don't think it means what you think it means.
It is, absolutely. Keep saying it. I'm like, you're doing the opposite. It's like when he says honestly or believe me or, you know, this is the truth or I'm not joking. No joke, man. I keep thinking thou doth protest too much, dear Joe.
I'm trying to be clear. Try harder.
Yeah, please. Everything you're saying is leaving me confused. He also, it's like Michael Scott improving his sentence. He has no idea where it's going, but he's just, he keeps going with it, and he hopes that at some point it comes to an end. All right, without further ado, it is time for Producer's Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day, Producer's Picks.
This is the part of the show where Jared picks out his favorite stories, the things that are on top of mind for him, but also where he helps me out and kind of wraps up some loose ends of things that I teased and never got around to actually playing.
Yes, we heard you talk about a stunning sentence, honestly, that we wanted to play some Bill Maher sound.
Now, a historic sentence.
Yes, I'm old enough to remember Bill Maher in the 90s when he was at his peak, and actually stand-up comic Bill Maher, but he has fallen way off the cliff.
Yeah, you are aging yourself.
I am. I am an ageismist. aggressor or whatever the term. I don't know. Anyway, this was Bill Maher for the first time in, 20-something years, making complete and total sense on his program.
Problems with wokeness, that what you say doesn't have to make sense or jibe with the facts or ever be challenged, lest the challenge itself be conflated with racism. But saying white power and privilege is at an all-time high is just ridiculous. Higher than a century ago, the year of the Tulsa race massacre? Higher than the years when the KKK rode unchecked and Jim Crow went unchallenged? Higher than the 1960s when the Supremes and Willie Mays still couldn't stay in the same hotel as the white people they were working with? Higher than during slavery? And I mean actual slavery, not Prince doesn't like his record contract slavery.
Yep.
Yeah. And you can really tell through a lot of Bill Maher's monologues that, you know, I don't know if he would be going this hard at these topics if it weren't for his utter disdain for millennials and Gen Z. You can absolutely hear in his voice during these monologues that he hates the younger generations. And I don't blame him necessarily, because I go on TikTok. I see what the kids are doing and what they're commenting. And they really don't understand, which he points out, that there was a time before you got here. Let's play that cut.
Racism is still, unfortunately, still with us. We have the footage. In policing, housing, job discrimination, segregated schools, wealth inequality, the legacy of injustice sadly lives on and demands remedial action. I understand, as best I can, how racism singes a person's soul so much that they might see it everywhere. But seeing clearly is necessary for actually fixing problems, and clearly racism is simply no longer everywhere. It's not in my home, and it probably isn't in yours. The low point of race relations wasn't Kim Kardashian wearing cornrows, even though it happened on Snapchat and George Wallace standing in a doorway didn't. Because here's the thing, kids, there actually was a world before you got here.
That is a good message for kids. The younger generations, because they, and I'm going to say it's because they didn't learn any sort of history. They're learning this new woke history, which just obsesses about racism and not just looking back at racism, but finding it in your everyday life. Of course, they only think it's the world started when they got here. That's what society has been telling them. I didn't think I'd ever see the day, Jared, where you and I were applauding Bill Maher, but hey, stranger things.
And therein lies the real insidious part of this plan, is to indoctrinate these kids so that, yeah, they don't look backwards, because if you don't know things have been worse, they will tell you this is the worst it's ever been. And you'll believe them and you'll buy into their crap. And that's how they grind down the future generation.
Yeah, and it's also with language. I mean, that's a huge part of 1984, is if you change the language, if you rename the buildings, if you tear down the statues, then you control history. And whoever controls history really does control the future. All right, Jared, what else you got for us for this short producer's picks?
All right, well, we don't have the COVID snitch line really anymore.
I know, because, it's so sad.
Because it's done, but never letting a good snitch line opportunity to go to waste. Wellesley Public Schools, right here in Massachusetts, is asking its students and faculty to report others for, quote, incidents of bias, unquote, to the school district for investigation and potential punishment.
So that's tattletaling. They want people, yes, to accuse people of being racist or, you know, transphobic or homophobic,
whatever,
or xenophobic.
Phobic of the day, yes.
And tell on them.
Yes. So they
turn on your neighbor, essentially.
Yes. They have a very specific...
Oh, good.
Specific, hard line on this.
That makes me feel better, because for a second I was like, this is going to get out of hand really quick.
According to school policy obtained by Parents Offending Education, a bias incident is any biased conduct.
Great.
Speech or expression that has an impact but may not involve criminal action.
Wait, speech that has an impact?
Yes.
Isn't the point of most speech to have an impact?
Yes,
unless you're Joe Biden and you're just talking to talk?
Yes.
This speech, I'm hoping this speech has an impact that I'm doing right now.
Well, it doesn't involve any criminal action, so I think you'll be safe from the snitch line. But the impact, but not involve criminal action, but demonstrates conscious or unconscious bias.
Oh.
That targets individuals or groups that are part of a federally protected class.
All right. So now I'm going to give some examples that pop into my head of recent crazy ideas of what is microaggression. There was a story last week about changing the names of birds because those were racist.
Yes.
You know, we've stopped calling school. You couldn't name a school after Barack Obama because that wasn't woke enough. There are a lot of little things. If you say humankind or worse, if you refer to the woman or the person who birthed you as your mother, would these all make the list of hall monitor, tattletale, snitch line, USA?
Birthing people.
Yes, birthing people, I believe, is top of the list. I mean, that is prime category. That is prime microaggression right there by saying mother.
Yeah, I'm blown away by this. There's so many conscious or unconscious.
Yes, conscious or unconscious. That's the best part, because really, you can apparently determine motivation now.
You can
determine what's in somebody's mind.
Okay, you can mind read. I mean,
absolutely.
The mainstream media can mind read exactly what Joe Biden means. So when he says, "Oh, I've set up the biggest election fraud system in history," or whatever the quote was, they say, "No. What he meant to say was this." Now Trump can say something totally non-offensive, and they can say, "Well, this is a dog whistle. What he really meant was this." He might not even have known he meant it. It might have been unconscious, but this is what he meant. Yeah, they're absolute. They're Karnak the Magnificence, all of them. I just want to throw this in, Jared, really quick before we go to the break here. Did you see what happened? There was a horrible shooting in Austin, and a newspaper decided that it's called the Austin American Statesman, and it's the city's major daily newspaper. They attached an editor's note to its story about a mass shooting over the weekend that injured at least 14 people and killed one, explaining why they couldn't release details about the suspect's identity. Police have only released a vague description of the suspected shooter as of Sunday morning, the note said. The American Statesman is not including the description as it is too vague at this time to be useful in identifying the shooter, and such publication could be harmful in perpetuating stereotypes. If more detailed information is released, we will update our reporting. In its original posting, the city of Austin's police department described one suspect at large as a black male with dreadlocks wearing a black shirt and a skinny build. So that's the description they decided not to add in. Now, keep in mind, he was at large. So a description at that point, some might say, would be very helpful.
Yes, and especially if that description comes from the police.
And especially if it involves dreadlocks. That's something that you can see and identify someone and say, oh, that person has dreadlocks.
Yes.
That's a pretty good descriptor.
That is great. I don't understand how that would perpetuate a stereotype.
The police department's website was later updated. One suspect is in custody. The second suspect is at large. Now, as PJ Media pointed out, there was nothing vague about the police's description of the suspect, which in fact dramatically reduced the suspect pool in the Austin area, narrowing it down to black males wearing dreadlocks, or 50% of the 15% black population in the city, if you're doing the math. This would be helpful information to give the public, considering the suspect was, again, at large. Just kind of a crazy story. The reviews are in for the Eden Pure Thunderstorm air purifier. One user wrote, simple to use and easy to install. I mean, it's really, you don't even have to install it. You plug it in. I mean, I know that's technically installing it, but it's the most simple product you're going to use. Whether you have dogs, cats, this person has three dogs. They bought three and they say they love the change. Now, Jared, I know you use it for your allergies. I know it's made a world of difference, but you also use it for the smell down your basement.
Yes, I have a comic book room and it's got that library smell, that old paper, kind of some mustiness from the 70s and 80s and that sort of thing. And it gets rid of that completely. I should say it did, because the thunderstorm got rid of that. So now it's, you're not sitting around reading and thinking, man, this Smells like 1978 in here. I don't like this.
Yeah, the AC may be on now, and that means doors are closed. But when doors are closed, odors are more noticeable. When you're cooking, you may not like the lingering fish or garlic smell, but that's no problem for your thunderstorm. We use this in the office all the time because the guy who's coming up next, Howard Lawrence Carr, he likes to microwave fish, and sometimes he makes fish nachos, and I don't know what he's got going on in that microwave, but now I don't have to know because the thunderstorm gets rid of the smell. I use this in my home as well. You're going to love it as much as I do. Order the thunderstorm today at EdenPure.com. Click on the Grace banner and put in code word GRACE10. That problem room will no longer be a problem. I'm going to say it one more time. You go to EdenPure.com, click on the Grace banner, and put in code word GRACE10. Get yourself an Eden Pure thunderstorm. Look how small but powerful this thing is. Get it before they're gone. All right, now we will be back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It's time for the car crossover, and it's brought to you by Exit Realty. With locations all over New England, Exit Realty has you covered. To learn more about the Exit Realty difference, go to exitrealty.com/New England. All right, so Howie Carr is here. He's going to be covering a lot of Joe Biden because, as usual, Joe is coming out to a hot mic very soon, and Howie's very excited about that. But, Howard, I actually wanted to ask you about a different cut. And this yes. cut involves a czar, a COVID coronavirus czar. And this is Andy Slavitt. And I have a feeling you're going to have some thoughts on this cut. 16, please, Jared.
But if we're honest, we also made two other types of mistakes that caused a lot of loss of life. One were just plainly political leadership mistakes. There was a lot. We denied the virus for too long out of the Trump White House. There was too much squashing of dissent and playing on divisions. But I'd also think we all need to look at one another and ask ourselves, what do we need to do better next time? And in many respects, being able to sacrifice a little bit for one another to get through this and to save more lives is going to be essential, and that's something that I think we could all have done a little bit better on.
Do you think you made enough sacrifices over the last year, Howie?
When he says we denied the virus, who is he referring to? What do you mean we, Kemosabe, as the old joke goes? You know, I mean, Biden is the one who said they shouldn't have shut down flights from China. And Pelosi and de Blasio were telling people to go to Chinatown and on the subways and go to movie theaters. And what about the quashing of dissent? Is that anything like Facebook and Twitter shutting down any dissent about where the virus came from? I mean, give me a break.
Once again,
projection with these people.
I think the crazier part is that Americans have to do more next time, you know, to sacrifice more. You gave me a story today, Howie, about 40% of small businesses went under during this pandemic. People couldn't bury their loved ones, and we're told that we didn't sacrifice enough.
Right. We're going to talk to a lawyer from Gainesville, Florida today who won the first case, apparently, to declare the mask mandate unconstitutional. And one of the quotes he was using was from one of the county commissioners in that county. And the guy said, the reason why you need a mask mandate is it's the only way you can show you're obeying, basically.
Yes. You're a rule follower and a good rule follower.
Submission.
Exactly. All right. Howie Carr's coming up next. He's got an unbelievable guest, which he just teased, and so much more. So don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.